I fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. We do appreciate it. Easter Monday, I believe, as it is officially called. Mallory Pipey, text line 251-343-0106. Real quick rundown once again. Coming up in about half hour from now, House Majority Leader Scott Stadthagen and the House Speaker Pro Tem in Mississippi, Manley Barton, we'll be on to talk about their softball game on Wednesday night. Dale Jackson from WVNN, also in the 10 o'clock hour. And from the Trustful Tribune, Scott Buttram will make hasn't been on in a while, so he'll be on in the 11 o'clock hour. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now every other Monday, we have this gentleman on. We appreciate his time. But Shane Stringer, a state lawmaker from Citronelle, is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, we appreciate you stopping on and giving us the time here. Session winding down, it feels like things are starting to move a little bit more. You had a big cloture day, the House did, on Thursday. The mood is kind of shifted a little bit the other direction, I feel like.
Yeah, it's definitely getting toward the end of session. Everybody's kind of stressed out and I guess tired and hoping to get this thing wrapped up soon, but still got some important legislation we're trying to get pushed through before we do.
Yeah, well, let's talk about some of that. You got a House Bill 411 and it's these protesters who like to block the road. So we had that problem here a few years back. I don't understand why you would ever put yourself in this position to be out in the interstate, but when they were going to block, they blocked where I-10 and I-65 sort of split there, and that creates a mess. But it happens in Alabama. It's happened in Birmingham a lot more probably than Mobile. But you're wanting to kind of put an end to that method of protesting.
Yeah, I mean, this bill would basically address the civil side of it if a person was in that scenario where the roads were blocked and they were not letting them through and they feared for their life or safety and use their vehicle to push on through and get wherever they're going or whatever, get out of that dangerous situation. It would limit their liability and prohibit them from being allowed to be sued in that scenario.
Yeah, because you see that sometimes, but better or worse, it happens in Alabama, it seems like. So it's not just a solution looking for a problem.
No, it's absolutely happened in Alabama. And, you know, like you said, we've seen it more in Birmingham. And, you know, we're seeing more and more of this radical left that are doing these type of events. And in those events, they're, you know, we've seen where they pull people out of their cars and beat them up, hurt them, kill them. It's not happening that severe in Alabama, but we're not going to sit back and wait on it to happen. Citizens are extremely concerned with this type of issue. And, you know, we need to do something to put some protections in place to provide security for them if they need to get out of that scenario or situation that is not of their own making.
Right. So that's probably something that is warranted, I would say. So you brought this to my attention, and this is kind of fascinating. The legislature is considering a bill, and I believe it's an Almond bill, Cynthia Almond from Tuscaloosa, but wants to give Eric Mackey and State Board of Education superintendent subpoena power. This is kind of outrageous, or it seems at face value. What do you make of it? What do we need to know?
I mean, it's extremely outrageous. I've been in law enforcement for 34 years, and, you know, we don't want to get in the habit of giving subpoena powers to any and everybody. And, you know, there's law enforcement agencies that support the schools and school system in criminal investigations and situations that is needed, there is absolutely no reason whatsoever to give the state superintendent subpoena authority. That can be abused in so many ways. Not saying that Mackey would, but I still think that we've got to keep that in check. I mean, the legislature don't even have subpoena power. So, you know, I think we need to keep that in the proper channels, which is through, you know, through our DA's office and law enforcement.
Well, yeah, what is it? I guess it's the idea here is there's some kind of disciplinary situation that requires a superintendent to do some kind of investigation. He needs to have the subpoena power. Seems, like you said, it seems to might if it rises to that level, that seems like it would interfere with any criminal investigation potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. It would fall under the you know, the Miranda Warning Act, and people that are being interviewed and questioned over a school matter that turns into a criminal matter could potentially play a part in the prosecution of that due to not being Mirandaized or, you know, handled properly through the system.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that this is going to happen. I mean, we're kind of short on time here, and as the Alabama legislature session kind of comes to an end, but what are they thinking, man? Like, I've never heard any discussion or any desire for this kind of power. Where did this come from?
I'm not sure. You know, I just think that we need to keep government limited, and we need to keep things in the proper channels. And, you know, if we do this, then next they're going to want to give subpoena powers to the state health officer or, you know, or other state agencies. And I just don't think that's a proper way to do, you know, anytime there's a need for subpoena issues, then they can go through ALEA or a law enforcement agency in the state, and they can address that through the courts.
Well, I mean, it's kind of seems like something that could be dangerous. He's not an elected official. I mean, not that the, all these officers of the court or whatever that have the ability to get a subpoena are, but he... I mean, there's a lot of potential for abuse here, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is, you know, and, you know, legislators that have spouses that work in the education system and, you know, they get upset with one of the legislators and decide that they want to subpoena, you know, one of our relatives that work in the school systems, you know, information, phone records, whatever they want to do. I just don't think that that's a wise decision for us to do.
It also seems like something that all the education bureaucracy would probably push back against. But the fact that I guess it's more of this representative that the fact that something like this got filed, it just seems a little wrongheaded. But here we are. Hey, this is the big topic. And, you know, I know you kind of can tell us where it's at right now. And opening up Big Creek Lake back to the public. I guess they've done some small token gestures, but you're still banging the drum on this.
Yeah, we're making some headway. You know, we are getting close to the end of the session, so I'm not sure, you know, if it's we're able to get across the finish line, but it ain't going to be from lack of effort. You know, we'll continue to work hard and we do have HB 473 is coming up on the floor for a vote tomorrow. The only concern that I have, it is pretty far down the calendar and, you know, to whether how far we are able to get down the calendar tomorrow. So it's a good deal. Hopefully we can, you know, keep pushing it. And I'm optimistic that we can go with it. But if not, then we'll, you know, it's not anything that's going to go away. We'll continue to fight for the citizens of Mobile County and trying to make sure that we return the access of our navigable waterway back to the citizens where it belongs.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking about this. It's one of these issues that, sure, the water board those in city government that are opposing your bill, they may pop the champagne cork, you know, once the session's over. But this isn't going away. Like, you know, as long as I assume you're around, this, you're still going to kind of push against some of this. And am I correct in that assumption?
Absolutely. I mean, the state has already told us that they have stocked that lake with over 900,000 bass and done other stuff out there. So, you know, we've got state money invested in that waterway. It ain't just the Maas water system. You know, they may have bought up all the land around it and trying to, enclose it, if you want to say that. But no, there's still a lot of work to be done there. I mean, the Department of Natural Resources has already said that it is a navigable waterway and that people can be on the water and fish it. So, you know, I guess the big problem with that is getting access to the water itself to be able to fish.
Yeah, but like say in 26 or beyond, you got to be looking at like filing this bill again if this problem still persists.
Yeah, I'm hoping and praying that Maas will come around and let's do the right thing. We have had some negotiations with them, and you know, they have considered opening it back up and putting the boat wash back in place. I don't think that that's their first priority or first option, but you know, I hope that they'll come around and work with the community and be a good neighbor and let's get that resolved without, you know, going through the legislature. But if not, that's the process that we will go.
Well, is it kind of like a negotiation? Like here, we have these options. We have these tools. We could do this, or hopefully you exercise some discretion here. What would be, for you at least, an amicable solution?
My solution is open the lake back up. Let's open the ramp, the boat launch back up. Let's put the boat wash back in play. You know, with the budget and the money that Maas has coming in, they can afford to man that boat wash and that launch and let's, you know, be a good neighbor. Let's put these people back to fishing and doing it in a safe manner that's not going to harm the water for the Maas users and consumers.
And what I found about this issue, I mean, you don't have a lot of people that are like on the water board side. It seems like overwhelmingly the at least the grassrootsy kind of part of the public is on your side. Open it back up. We've been fishing this lake for generations. We've been out using it for recreation for generations, and you don't hear, except from, you know, the water board itself, that this is a good policy.
Yeah, absolutely. I've not had the outside of Maas, I've not had anybody contact me that's, you know, saying that closing the lake's the best option and the only option. You know, everybody that's calling me is saying that we've used this lake our whole lives. We've never had a problem. You know, I've done my research on the zebra mussel and invasive grass, and there's ways to treat and take care of that. You know, there's no reason that we can't coexist and, you know, take care of the water system for the Maas users and utilize that water and fish it. You know, I've even talked to different environmentalists that will tell you that it's not healthy for the lake in any shape to not be used or fished. That, you know, like I said, we've stocked it, the state has stocked it with over 900,000 bass. And to go in there and just quit fishing it and utilizing it is not going to be healthy for the lake either.
That's interesting because no one's really talked about that. That if you do this, there, you know, there are unintended consequences to that water supply. And, you know, I don't know what the potential is, but that is sort of what we've always had has worked. I mean, there hasn't been like one seismic event that has caused a problem here, has there?
No, it has not. You know, and that's what I was explaining to the Maas director. You know, it's kind of like with Highway 45. You know, we have fatality wrecks over there, and you know, we could cut those wrecks in half by changing the speed limit from 55 down to 15. But you know, who's going to want to drive from State Line or Washington County or Citronelle to Mobile running 15 miles an hour for that? They're not. We could just shut the road down completely and cut wrecks out altogether on 45. We cannot do that. That is not an option. So we have to look at ideas and come up with solutions to minimize any risk of invasive grass or species in the water system, but yet still monitor it. You know, the bill I've got, you know, they brought an amendment in committee that would allow, this would basically put a process in place that would allow the board to be able to close it under certain circumstances if need be.
Well, my impression of Big Creek Lake has always been this. I mean, they've been extraordinarily careful about that lake. And I mean, for years it was Highway 98 and they wouldn't let the 98 be widened because of the threat of construction to the lake. They've been extraordinarily careful with it. And I haven't seen like any reason, unless I missed something, to think that this is, that it's being threatened the way it's being made out to be.
Yeah, and I hadn't either. You know, we've always had the threat with 98 crossing over Big Creek of a chemical spill, gas spill into the lake. We've always had the threats. There's a train track that runs over the creek right north of Big Creek Lake. That's a threat. You know, you've got lots of threats. Now you got the new 158 out there. It crosses over the creeks that run into Big Creek Lake. So, you know, you're not going to cut out, you're not going to ever be able to make anything 100% safe. You know, we would like to keep our kids 100% safe, but you can't do that. You know, you're still going to have to let them get out and live and just do the best you can to protect them and keep them safe. It's no different with anything else we do. You know, we're going to have to find a way to utilize this lake, but yet, you know, keep it safe also.
Well, Representative, you're always generous with your time. Once again, thanks for coming on. We'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break here. Be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Once was a thought inside my head.